Now, South Africa prohibits citizens from participating in foreign armed conflicts without official authorization. This includes joining foreign armies that South Africa does not agree with, such as the Israeli Defense Force. According to South Africa's foreign minister, Naledi Pandor, the country's citizens fighting for the Israeli Defense Force in Gaza could face prosecution upon their return to South Africa. An international and military law expert, Michelle Nell, joins us this afternoon to share some legal insight on the South Africans participating in foreign conflicts. Michelle, good afternoon and welcome to the show, and thank you for being here with us this afternoon.
Good afternoon, Lisa. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, it's a pleasure. Now, the law, or what law in South Africa prevents South Africans from joining foreign wars, especially regarding the recent tensions that we've seen between Israel over Gaza?
Okay, so, you know, we have more than one piece of legislation that might actually have an influence here, but I think the most important one is probably the regulation of the Foreign Military Assistance Act. Now, this is a 1998 act that very particularly prohibits South African citizens from participating in any military activities overseas. Now, this was supposed to be replaced by the Prohibition on Mercenary Activities and Regulations Act, but that one has already been signed by the president, but it hasn't been promulgated yet. So we still have the 1998 legislation. And that, of course, you know, just strengthens what is said in the Constitution, that and the Constitution very specifically prohibiting our citizens from participating in either national or international armed conflicts. And I think the last piece of legislation that I think that might be relevant for us here is the South African Citizenship Act of 1995, where it's determined that South African citizenship can be revoked if a person engages under the flag of another country in a war that the Republic does not support. But this is only for South African citizens that became citizens through naturalization. This does not apply to citizens from birth.
All right. So how does the government then, track or monitor South Africans who may be involved in foreign military activities?
That's actually quite a difficult question, and I don't know if I have the correct answer, because according to my research and what I've read up on, currently there's no real way to track the South Africans that you participate, because what's happening is, especially if you have dual citizenship, you leave the country on your South African passport, but then outside the borders you use your other passport. So you will not, for example, have a visa that you apply for where you have to give reasons why you are going, and all the proof that goes hand in hand with the visa application. So a person can either, you don't always ask why you are leaving. They stamp your passport and you go. So apart from people actually putting this on social media to say, this is where I am, this is where I'm fighting, for example, there's no real way for the South African government, in my opinion, that they can actually track people. It's only if they are made aware of it by other people knowing. But other than that,
like
I don't see how they can track people. Yes.
Yes, like we've seen on social media. And then what happens when these people do decide to come back to South Africa? How does the government then handle cases where, South Africans are found to have participated in foreign conflicts that they may not be part of or do not agree upon?
Well, ultimately, they disobeyed the law. So it will have the same route that you will actually find with any other transgression. The matter will be handed over either for investigation by the police, or it will be handed over to the National Prosecuting Authority if the evidence have already been gathered. And from there, it needs to go to see whether is there sufficient evidence to continue with the trial. And then a trial then is supposed to happen. But we don't really see in the media, many trials of this nature actually happening.
Yes.
Because what seems to be happening more often than not is that there's plea bargaining happening, where a person is being prosecuted, and then they enter into a plea bargain, and then they get their fine and maybe a suspended prison sentence, but it's not really reported. But it will go the same way as you would actually investigate any other crime, because ultimately it is crime. So.
Okay. Now, what happens in a case like we South Africans, obviously, like you said, realistically speaking, that this may not happen. There could be plea bargaining. And there's also the case of, you know, diplomatic relations. The person may also choose not to come back and carry on, or come back but choose to go and live in the other state that they have you know, dual nationality in. Yes. So that would mean that South Africa wouldn't be able to prosecute as well?
No, actually, you know, the Act gives its extraterritorial jurisdiction, which basically means that we do have the jurisdiction to prosecute them, but they will have to come back on South African soil. Because I don't see a situation, for example, if somebody goes to Israel, that Israel will hand over one of its citizens to be prosecuted in South Africa. Doesn't matter how good the diplomatic relations are, I don't see that happening. So that person will actually have to put foot on South African soil before there will be any way to prosecute members.
And what are some of the main challenges in enforcing these laws, and how can they be addressed?
Well, I think some of the main challenges, in my opinion, is first of all, is to actually pinpoint that a crime has been committed. You have to identify the person who's there. Then you have to gather the evidence. And then the question is going to be how are they going to access the evidence? Because we don't know, especially in the situation with Israel, for example, are they going to make witnesses available to testify that this person actually was there? So I think that is one of our biggest problems, is actually to get sufficient evidence against a person to go ahead with prosecution. So I think this, if they are really serious about this, they should have better processes in place. And I think people should also be made aware, because I'm not convinced that everybody is aware that we do have this legislation. You know, they see, well, they have a responsibility because for dual citizenship, for example, they are being called up and they have to go and fight. And I don't really know whether they are actually aware of the fact that they should have permission to go or not. So I think there should be, because I'm not aware of any thing that the government have in place to actually inform people that this is the situation and this is how it should actually be happening. And so processes must be put in place. And then when if there is sufficient evidence, they must actually then go ahead with the prosecution. And people must be made aware of it, because the only way that this is going to be a deterrent, it's not about heavy sentences or anything like that. It's about the certainty that there will be a successful prosecution and that there will be punishment afterwards. That's the only way in terms of how you actually do stop things like this from happening.
How does South Africa's rulings with regards to this kind of issue compare to other countries like the UK or Canada, Netherlands, you know?
Well, you know, South Africa is actually one of very few countries who prohibit the voluntary participation of our members. We are not talking about mercenaries, which is pretty much illegal for quite a number of countries. But we are talking here about people who voluntarily join. So if you look at the UK, they do prohibit their citizens from joining foreign armed forces. But, you know, I've been unable to access any case law in terms of what they actually do about that. In the US, you may forfeit your citizenship if you are found, but only if you fight for a country that is in, you know, basically in war with your own country, because it's basically seen as treason for them.
Treason.
So the Netherlands have no prohibition on their members joining foreign armed forces, as long as the country is not at war with the Netherlands. And the Canadians have an interesting situation where they prohibit you from joining any foreign armed force that is at war with a friendly nation. So, for example, if you take the Ukraine-Russian situation, Canada will not prosecute you if you fight on behalf of Ukraine, but if you're going to fight on behalf of Russia, they might decide to institute prosecution against you. So we have a very unique situation in South Africa, actually. So it's much different from international. We probably have, in my opinion, the most prohibitive or strictest legislation in this regard.
Are there any initiatives or campaigns to educate South Africans about the legal implications of participating in foreign conflicts? You did actually speak about that a little.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've looked and I couldn't find anything. And I'm not aware of any campaigns. I think the only thing that people are now after, Minister Pandor actually said something, that it is starting to become more visible for people, and they are starting to ask questions. But I've looked on the internet and everything, and you just cannot find campaigns, you cannot find really really accessible information in that regard. And this is why I'm saying I think there's a responsibility on government to actually start with campaigns and to inform people about the consequences of decisions that they're making.
Absolutely. Maybe also explain for us the difference between an illegal mercenary, illegal mercenary activities and the lawful involvement in foreign conflicts under the South African law.
Okay, so illegal mercenary activities is any military action or support to a military action, but you do that for monetary compensation. So that is the mindset, right, and the intention that is required for somebody to be seen as a mercenary. But when we are talking about involvement in foreign conflicts, it's usually either you are part of a private military company, which you also then need permission for, or it's because of ideological reasons. Now, ideological reasons can be a bit tricky sometimes, because it can be either benign in terms of fighting because you believe in their cause, but it's a thin line before it's seen as terrorism. So that's a tricky one there. But if you are asking about lawful involvement in foreign conflicts, there's only one of two ways that you can actually be lawfully involved in a foreign conflict. The first one is as a member of the South African National Defence Force that's on a foreign deployment. So if like a peacekeeping mission. So then you have permission to be there and you are fighting, because that's the only armed force that you are actually allowed for. And the other one is if you have the permission to do that. But outside of those two instances, there's really no lawful involvement in any foreign conflict at all, not for South Africa.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your time. That gives us an understanding and where we stand with regards to this, because everybody's been talking about, you know, people going out to fight, having dual citizenship. What happens when they come back? Can they be charged? Especially after what Minister Naledi Pandor said. So it's good to understand where we are with regards to that. And we appreciate you making the time for us this afternoon. Thank you very much.
It's been a great pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, you're welcome. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.